Now the light was lifting as the sun went down, and the sun streaks climbed up the wall and fell over the feeding racks and over the heads of the horses. Lenny said,
"Maybe if I took this pup out and throwed him away, George wouldn't never know, and then I could tend the rabbits without no trouble."
Curly's wife said angrily,
"Don't you think of nothing but rabbits?"
"We're gonna have a little place," Lenny explained patiently. "We're gonna have a house and a garden and a place for alfalfa, and that alfalfa is for the rabbits, and I take a sack and get it all full of alfalfa, and then I take it to the rabbits."
She asked,
"What makes you so nuts about rabbits?"
Lenny had to think carefully before he could come to a conclusion. He moved cautiously close to her until he was right against her.
"I like to pet nice things. Once, at a fair, I seen some of them long-haired rabbits, and they was nice, you bet. Sometimes I even pet mice, but not when I could get nothing better."
Curly's wife moved away from him a little.
"I think you're nuts," she said.
"No, I ain't," Lenny explained earnestly. "George says I ain't. I like to pet nice things with my fingers, soft things."
She was a little bit reassured.
"Well, who don't?" she said. "Everybody likes that. I like to feel silk and velvet. Do you like to feel velvet?"
Lenny chuckled with pleasure.
"You bet, by God," he cried happily. "And I had some, too. A lady gave me some, and that lady was my own Aunt Clara. She gave it right to me, about this big a piece. I wished I had that velvet right now."
A frown came over his face.
"I lost it," he said. "I ain't seen it for a long time."
Curly's wife laughed at him.
"You're nuts," she said. "But you're kind of nice fella. Just like a big baby. But a person can see kind of what you mean. When I'm doing my hair sometimes, I just sit and stroke it because it's so soft."
To show how she did it, she ran her fingers over the top of her head.
"Some people got kind of coarse hair,"
she said complacently.
"Take Curly. His hair's just like wire, but mine is soft and fine. Of course, I brush it a lot. That makes it fine. Here. Feel right here."
She took Lenny's hand and put it on her head.
"Feel right around there and see how soft it is."
Lenny's big fingers fell to stroking her hair.
"Don't you mess it up," she said.
Lenny said,
"Oh, that's nice."
And he stroked harder.
"Oh, that's nice."
"Look out now, you'll mess it up."
And then she cried angrily.
"You stop it now, you'll mess it all up."
She jerked her head sideways, and Lenny's fingers closed on her hair and hung on.
"Let go,"
she cried.
"You let go."
Lenny was in a panic. His face was contorted. She screamed then, and Lenny's other hand closed over her mouth and nose.
"Please don't," he begged. "Oh, please don't do that. George'll be mad."
She struggled violently under his hands. Her feet battered on the hay, and she writhed to be free, and from under Lenny's hand came a muffled screaming. Lenny began to cry with fright.
"Oh, please don't do none of that," he begged. "George is going to say I done a bad thing. He ain't going to let me tend no rabbits."
He moved his hand a little, and her hoarse cry came out. Then Lenny grew angry.
"Now don't," he said. "I don't want you to yell. You're going to get me in trouble, just like George says you will. Now don't do that."
And she continued to struggle, and her eyes were wild with terror. He shook her then, and he was angry with her.
"Don't you go yelling,"
he said, and he shook her, and her body flopped like a fish, and then she was still. For Lenny had broken her neck. He looked down at her, and carefully he removed his hand from over her mouth, and she lay still.
"I don't want to hurt you," he said, "but George will be mad if you yell."
When she didn't answer nor move, he bent closely over her. He lifted her arm and let it drop. For a moment he seemed bewildered, and then he whispered in fright,
"I done a bad thing. I'd done another bad thing."
He pawed up the hay until it partly covered her. From outside the barn came a cry of men and the double clang of shoes on metal. For the first time, Lenny became conscious of the outside. He crouched down in the hay and listened.
I'd done a real bad thing,
he said.
I shouldn't have did that. George will be mad, and he said, hide in the brush till he come. He's gonna be mad in the brush till he come. That's what he said.
Lenny went back and looked at the dead girl. The puppy lay close to her. Lenny picked it up.
I'll throw him away, he said. It's bad enough like it is.
He put the pup under his coat, and he crept to the barn wall and peered out between the cracks toward the horseshoe game. And then he crept around the end of the last manger and disappeared.